Hey everyone! Before we get started, I just want to let you know that your input can directly make our shows better. One of the biggest ways to support your favorite shows here is by rating and commenting on iTunes. All of our shows are available in Apple Podcast form on iTunes, and all you have to do is search for AfterBuzz and your favorite show title. Once you're there, leave the show a rating and a comment on why you like the show or any comments you have for the hosts. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to continue to bring you the best shows we possibly can.
Hi guys, this is the final, last episode of the season for the Outlander After Show, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
All right. Oh, sway for the last time. And we're swaying. Hi guys, welcome to the Outlander After Show, Season 3, Episode 13, Eye of the Storm. I'm Adrienne Snow, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow, and this is the rest of the panel.
I'm Emily Harlan, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at OMG, it's M-L-E.
I'm Tiana Hobson, and you can follow me at the Tiana Hobson.
And I'm Rachel Goodman, you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Rach Goodman, or on Facebook at Rachel Ann Goodman.
Alright, so this is the end.
I'm so sad.
I know. I mean, I feel like I barely had time with the show. You give it to me, and then you take a year off, and then it's just like,
at least this time we already know they've started. They're still there. It's coming back. It's not going to be as long of a wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More Drotlander in the same sense.
We know what's happening. So let's just jump right into it then. First thoughts.
I really liked this episode. It wasn't my favorite finale of the seasons, but it was still a good one. I think we got a lot of information. I'm excited to see the new, place that we end up in the next adventure for everyone to start next season. But, it answered a lot of the questions I had, and it was good, but it wasn't, my favorite of them all.
I'm going to have to agree with you. I think after what they did at the end of season two, that had me oh my God, I need to see this now, to find out what happens. But this was not bad. I love how they kind of tied up a lot of loose ends, and I love that Brianna was kind of involved a little bit. I'm just glad that, they could have done other things with it that really would have pissed me off.
Yeah.
So I'm just glad that it ended the way it did.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same as you guys. I liked this episode, and I liked the finale. I liked that they didn't have them split up like we kind of thought was going to happen. Jamie was going to go through the portal, or Claire was going to go through. So I liked that they didn't have that, and I also liked how it set up where they're going to be next season. That kind of gets us ready in a new environment, which is something I like that they do at this show. We've seen them in different kind of environments, different places throughout the season. So, yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I really like this episode. I'm not somebody who particularly enjoys cliffhangers. They kind of infuriate me. Because I'm always like, no! Don't do this to me! When is she going to come back? And versus me being like, oh, okay, they're going to be in the Americas. Cool, cool, cool. So that's a lot calmer for me. So I enjoyed the episode. But at the same time, this was the episode where I realized I was like, oh, I'm watching a romance novel. Oh, this is for real. Oh, because sometimes, it doesn't get so far into, an unrealistic space that, I feel that way. But there was a particular moment, and this is what I want to talk about later, that I was like, oh, this is a romance novel. Because there's no way that this could actually happen.
Agreed.
But at the same time, I love it. So let's just jump right off. So we start with Claire drowning, but we'll get back to that. So
stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned.
So what we really start with is Claire deciding to go after young Ian after Jamie's been captured by Captain Leonard. I kind of appreciated how they handled the Captain Leonard, but let's just go straight into Captain Leonard because it's so small.
Because he's also short.
Because he's short.
Did you get it?
No, I liked that they didn't pull any punches because that's, I think, something I said last episode. I was like, why didn't Jamie just go directly to John Grey? That makes total sense.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys felt about that scene, but I loved Jean Grey just, like, full-on clapping back
at
Captain Leonard and making that man feel like a child. Is wonderful. I don't know. What were you all feeling?
Yeah. Every time I see him, I like him more.
Right?
Yeah, I didn't think it was possible. He's, like, one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
Because everything, like, he could have... In another book or another TV show, he could have been a jealous guy who got jealous over Claire, but instead he still, like, his love for Jamie is so genuine that he just wants to help him and would never want to cause him harm, even if it's not the kind of love that Jamie feels toward him.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All I kept singing in my head was, "Don't mess with my man." That just kept going and repeat because
Or the boy is mine.
Yeah, the boy is mine. Yeah. Because you can just see him, you know, he starts off very calm of like, "Oh, okay, well, what do you have here?"
Yeah.
And then he just grows angry and angry. Yeah. He's like, "Mama Bear protecting her cub right now." And it was great. And I agree. He's become one of my favorite characters of the series, just mostly because of his love for Jamie and the respect that he has for Jamie as well.
Yeah. And he's always had that from, you know, even the very beginning when Jamie was a prisoner there. I felt like there was just always kind of like this respect. And obviously, it's a little bit deeper. He loves Jamie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved that scene. I mean, first of all, he's easy to look at, right? John Gray. So I like when he's on screen. But I just liked how he handled that. And it was kind of like he was always in control. He knew the outcome, and Jamie kind of knew that he was, you know, at ease too with him there. So yeah, I really like that. I wish they would keep him in more, but I don't think they will. Just kind of the ending, how they said bye. I mean, maybe there's, I haven't read the book, so I don't know, but you know how he said goodbye, Jamie, and he's like, you know, and they said like their goodbyes. It kind of felt a little final, but I would like to see him come back. So I'm hoping that he will.
I wanted to see Jamie get to see his son again, too, because we knew that they were going to come back at some, they were going to come join him at some point.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, this can't be goodbye.
Yeah. No. I don't think it is. I mean, because George is not that far from Jamaica.
No.
I mean, it's far, but it's not that far. But, No, yeah, I really enjoyed that scene. I really just enjoyed the moment where he's like, "Okay, yeah, so just show me the warrant."
Yeah, and he's like, "How about the affidavit?
Okay, do you have the affidavit?" Okay, oh, I'm sorry. I keep meaning to call you captain. But,
And at the very end, when he's just like, "You know what? Screw it," and he just keeps calling him lieutenant. Lieutenant.
I loved it. It was such a nice little way to wrap up that whole Captain Leonard storyline, and we also get to hear at the end of the episode that John Grey took care of everything, so there is no warrant for him if he ever wants to go back to Scotland. I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you. Just make it easy. But I'm going to do a quick plug. Did you guys know that John Grey actually has a comic book? He has a whole storyline where he goes into... he has a basically like a graphic novel for his character that they made a few years ago. And so I've never read it. I've only heard about it. But I'm using that to segue into I have a dear friend by the name of Brent Hubbard. He's also a colleague of mine. And he is currently creating a comic book called The Chair. And he's looking for some support online. It's at thechaircomic.com. And I'm just going to read a quick little byline or logline or blah, 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 whatever you call it. So... The Chair is a 5-issue full-color comic book series by new creators Bryn Scott Hubbard and Tyrell Deaver. It's a comedic superhero tale which tries to answer some of life's toughest questions, such as, what is true love? What does it mean to be human? What are the limitations of woman-on-chair sexual dynamics? We'll get there. At what velocity must a quadriplegic man be thrown against a criminal's face in order to break his nose? And more! The Chair takes place in a sprawling metropolis fraught with crime, sleaze, and personifications of present-day atrocities against humankind. Our story follows Kevin Stout, a quadriplegic man who is resigned to his humdrum life until a freak accident at a construction site exposes him to a life-changing, terraforming substance. He, unfortunately, gains no abilities by this encounter, but his mechanical wheelchair becomes conscious, incredibly verbal, and hosts a myriad of superpowers. Now Kevin is the reluctant sidekick to a newly sentient mechanical wheelchair hell-bent on fighting crime. So, that's The Chair. It sounds really weird. But it's going to be really funny. I've heard him talk about this for the past 3 years, and I hope you guys can take the time to just check out www.thechair.com, give some support, check out the Kickstarter, give some moolah if you can. He's got some really cool gifts if you do. And that's it. So, www.thechair.com. Now, back to the show. Thechaircomic.com. Thechaircomic.com. Not The Chair. Anyways.
We have a lot of comments in the chat, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, Let's see. So Terry Drosselmeyer says there are many John Gray books. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Brown, I have read them all.
Yeah.
Rosalva Cardiel, Lord John has his own novels.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Jackson, did he eventually become an Earl? Good question. And
Earl Grey.
Yeah. Ah. And Lynn Ann says, cool how they started with the drowning of Claire, then Jamie saves the day in the middle of the storm, the eye of the storm.
Yes. We'll get there. We'll get there. But thank you for the comment. So yeah, we get that wrapped up, and then we get to see Claire going into the slave quarters to see if she can find young Ian. And she finds a Biku and that white guy whose name I forgot. their bodies basically slaughtered by Galas. I guess she had her way with them and she was done. Mm-hmm. But that leads for Hercules to come and grab her, and she has that tete-a-tete with Galas. How did you guys feel about that scene? Yeah,
I used to like Galas so
much. Right?
It was hard to watch. She looked crazy.
Yeah.
She had that crazy eye. Why are you following? You know, she was like that suspicious person because of this whole prophecy thing. And I just knew things weren't going to end well.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a very interesting and long scene that I loved how long and drawn out it was. Mm-hmm. Kind of the dynamic shift in them starting as friends and then Galas accusing her and then kind of going back to like friends, but Claire a little suspicious of something. And it was just a good power dynamic of the two, and Claire busting out the photos of Brianna. And no, Claire, you're giving too much information.
I know. Way too much information to a woman that you do not know.
No, it's been 20 years. Yeah. You don't know this person. Yeah. You never really knew her.
She knew that she liked to kill her husbands. Yeah. I mean, that's suspect enough.
That's a red flag right there. Yeah. And I kind of felt like it showed the difference between two people who have had this, like, extraordinary experience, right, that they can't really explain, and how it affects people differently, right? You have Claire, who found love and is going back for Jamie, and then you have Galas, who was, like, on some crazy power struggle that seems like she's so, like, in that she can't get back out with where she's trying to go. And then, just to see after how she's completely turned, because the only reason she tried to be friends with Claire again is because she knew she could get something from her in turn. So, I used to really like Galas, too. But it kind of seems like she's not very good right now.
Yeah.
I used to really like her, and I never, like, she gave her life to help Claire.
Yeah.
So I really had a large amount of respect for her, and I wanted her to redeem herself throughout this whole thing until it was too late, and then she couldn't. And as soon as you see the deaths, that's where I'm like, okay, well, too late now. But I just...
The deaths?
Like, that she had her way with those...
The boys.
The boys. Yeah.
And, at that point, I'm like, no, like, there's no redeeming her. And I didn't... Like, I just didn't like... I thought I understood why Claire would be so trusting of her because of the past. But I was really frustrated that she was, too.
Yes, because at the same time, Claire knows that Galas is sitting here accusing her of lying to her about the reason that she's here and holding back information, when Claire knows that Galas has young Ian and hasn't come clean about that. So the fact that Claire was so trusting to give her more information was kind of suspect to me of... Claire, let's remember that she's also lying to you, but I get that her life was endangered because Hercules was a big
guy. Definitely a
big killer.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, I think for Claire in that moment, Galas didn't pose any threat to Brianna because she didn't at that moment know that the
200
was another portal at that moment. So... Tell her, like, I have proof to save her own life. That makes sense. I mean, I knew Galas was no good when she hopped out of a pool of blood. Yeah. I was like, all right, well, whoever I thought Galas was, apparently, you know, I guess, when I think about it now, I should have always known she was crazy because she killed her husband.
Yeah.
And then we see at the top of this season that she killed her first husband back in the 1960s. So she's always been like, she's like that social justice warrior friend you have that, like, takes it way too far. And you're like, okay, no, I believe in all the, like, stop.
Whoa.
Now you're just, like, turning to the dark side. What's happening? She's that person because she's obviously an activist in present day. And then when she decides that she's such an activist that she decides she has to go back and change history by killing her husband.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then failing to change Culloden, but she also kills another husband. Why did she kill that one? I guess just to get out of the marriage. And then, and now rapes and kills young boys for her own pleasure and gain while fulfilling a prophecy.
She's gone off the rocker.
It's gone too far. So I wasn't surprised that Claire was doing what she did to try and save her life. Mm-hmm. But I was shocked at how far it had gone with Galus. I didn't think it was ever going to get that bad.
And it almost, now it sounds like Galus only saved her life because she knew that they weren't actually going to kill her because of the baby.
Oh.
That's what I think now.
Back when the witch trials?
Yeah, so maybe Claire didn't need, maybe Galus was never as good as we thought she was anyway.
Yeah, maybe she was just never, I mean, she was always kind of weird. So this makes sense. But at the same time, especially when she was like, kill her, do what you want with her first, I was like, that, who are you to do that to someone that you've known and, you know, and have helped in the past? But at the same time, it just really sucked.
Yeah.
So we see, after, you know, Claire is kind of softened Galus, whatever that means at this point, that she's taken a picture and that she's given, basically told Claire she can spend the night and rest. Basically just keeping her prisoner until she needs her later.
Yeah. I wouldn't have trusted that for a second.
And I don't think Claire did either.
Yeah. But she sees them carrying off somebody that appears to be young Ian. And so it was young Ian, but at the same time, you know, we didn't know for sure. And fortunately, the convenience that comes up so often in this show, that Fergus was able to get to Jamie right after his tete-a-tete with John Grey and let him know that she was at the house, even though I don't believe they were supposed to know that. The man who dropped her off said, didn't she tell him not to tell anyone that she was at the house
until morning? Did, I think.
So maybe he did tell, but I don't know. I was kind of confused
as to
how.
She said to come, if she wasn't back, to come call for her at the house in the morning.
And then I guess Fergus did have the letter, so that makes sense. But yeah, Jamie is able to find the guest house.
It was a big house, so he had to knock on a lot of doors to get the right one.
He found the guest house conveniently.
But Jamie is also kind of a tracker of sorts, because he's lived in the wild and he, you know, he knows how to hunt and find things. So
I'm just amazed that he was able to get past all of those slaves that keep eyes for Miss Abernathy, aka Galus. I'm just talking about, it was very convenient.
Yeah. And the fact that she couldn't open the door, you would think, I don't know, was it locked from the outside?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, why can't she break a window?
That's what I thought when she's like, sees Ian. I'm like, why don't you just crack one of those windows out and at least yell out?
Yeah.
There's no security system back then.
No bulletproof glass.
But it's kind of a loud noise that would get her caught again.
Just take that big.
Galus knows that she's escaped. I think she wanted to go for more of an element of surprise.
Take that big dress. Put it over the window. Punch it.
Punch it.
Yeah. Teaching people how to break windows. <There you go. laughs> Yes. Muffle it with your clothing. So they go off into the woods and they discover a group of, I guess these are free people, I assume, because they are having a whole ritual and there's an alligator on top of someone's head and they're cutting
that
open a chicken.
That looked very real.
It looked very real.
I questioned many times if that was an actual alligator's head.
Yeah.
Nah, question mark.
PETA would be like, nah.
But it looks so real.
It did look very real.
I have a whole ritual and there's an alligator on top of
Siri is listening into our conversation.
Apologies, guys. Apparently I said something that sounded like
Siri.
That's funny.
Couldn't find anything about what we were talking about. So they're doing a ritual. It looks very much like the women who danced in first season for the ritual of the Cragnadun. But at the same time, it doesn't seem like they're trying to go into the stones. It just seems like it's like a ritual they do where they make a sacrifice of a chicken.
Mm-hmm. But the girls who were dancing, were they trying to go into the stones necessarily? It seemed like it was just like a ritual dance. And I loved that they overlapped the two dancing movements, because as they were dancing, I started thinking, I was like, wow, that looks like the dancing set with a little bit more gyrating.
Actually, it does make sense, because didn't Galas have that dance happen when she was trying to make a sacrifice to go back? She did. There's something about the sacrifice first season that called for her to ask the woman to come out and dance, but I can't. But she ended up not going through the stones that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think is what happened. She ended up getting caught as a witch. I think that's what happened. If I'm wrong, you can definitely speak up in the chat. So I guess maybe that was Galas. Maybe those were her slaves, and she was having them do the ritual so she could go through the portal.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Mm-hmm. And I think that, Claire obviously figured that out, too, as she was watching. Mm-hmm. So I kind of felt like even though they weren't right at the stones where she was, I thought they maybe were close enough where Galas thought that's what they were. Because she still doesn't seem to get the fact that she doesn't need to do all that stuff.
I liked that Claire explained it, that she's like, it's something that pulls you to go through. You don't need to sacrifice anyone. Nobody needs to start dancing for you. You just have to have something that pulls you through. And maybe Galas doesn't have anything pulling her through, and maybe that's why she feels like she's
killed everybody that would love her.
Anyone that would, Oh, God. She's so crazy, you guys. Anyways, so we get to the ritual, and we run into Mr. Willoughby and Mrs. Margaret Campbell, who are now in love. We're going to run away.
I love that.
To Martinique. How'd you guys feel about that scene in terms of just, like, we get to see the Campbells one last time, Mr. Willoughby gets to go, like, crazy and kill somebody? It was insane.
There's a lot of killing.
Justifiably,
tonight.
Though. Justifiably. Yeah. I loved that scene, because I felt like Margaret finally didn't have to deal with her brother anymore, and obviously that was what was making her really crazy, was just dealing with him, not her.
And
the
laudanum he was giving her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was so interesting to hear her speak normally, I guess, you know, because we hadn't really seen that before. I don't think we'd ever seen her kind of, it seemed like she was just a regular person at that point, where in the past she was so medicated and so angry and all this kind of stuff. So I loved seeing that. I was glad that Mr. Willoughby killed her brother. So I was like,
me too.
And then they used him as part of their ritual.
Yeah.
I love that he said, she sees me and I see her. And that's when I lost it. And I was like, oh, this is a romance novel, and I love love, and it's so cute, and especially because, you know, they're not the young spring chickens who have to spend, you know, their entire lives together. They're of a certain age, and they found each other, and they're now happy to go settle down and build their own life together for forever. And, I mean, it's been 8 hours, maybe? Hours. So it's just great to see that they could find that and get to go off. And I'm glad that we got to say goodbye to Mr. Willoughby in a sense of getting him to see his happy ending. And even though he didn't, you know, he didn't get to finish his book, he had to sacrifice his book on the ship. And now he's getting this new chapter of love in his life.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's so sweet. And, you know, at the start of the season, when they introduced him and they introduced her, never in my mind did I imagine that those two would run off together. But it's really sweet to see it and to just have a small little romance happen for... Like, I think this season's really been about small little romances happening for other people, too, and them finding their true loves and everything. And I was like, my little heart. It beats for this.
Yeah, like, so, even Fergus, too.
Even Fergus, exactly. Yeah. And it's always kind of like they do a really good job of making it unexpected. I'm very surprised by the romances that have been popping up. Is there any stuff in the chat?
Yeah, we do have a couple of, we have a lot of comments. That's really awesome. Heidi Sesenak says, but it sounds like you don't get to go more than a certain number of times through the portal. Then we have Linda D. Cristoforo. Love Margaret. The attention to BK Raiders a wink to Bree, calling to her father and mother, didn't catch it at first.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that she was doing the voice.
That scared me.
I kind of figured that's what was happening.
Is Bree talking to them? Is something wrong with her?
And it helped that the subtitle said American accent. I was like, oh, okay.
And then Rosalvo Cardiel says, they do the ritual during certain times of the year. In the book was during Beltane, and then the show, they did it during Samhain, Halloween, to open the portals. Nella, Jay, John Gray Slade, and then one of the final comments we have is Rosalvo Cardiel, in the books, Margaret goes and lives with the slaves.
Oh, okay. That's cool, then. So, we finally, this is the point where when they get to Galus in the cave, I paused it because I went to go get some tea. And I was like,
oh, me too.
I still, yeah.
not for tea, but I paused it right there.
I was like, we still have 30 more minutes of this episode.
Same thing, too.
What? Yeah. We thought it was going to be the end. We were like, okay, like, this is a big battle. Yeah. There you go. And then,
I thought the same thing. I watched it last night at like 2 a.m. Well, it was like finishing at 2, and I was like, wait, what time is it? Because there's like half an hour left. Yeah. Like, what's happening here?
And then, and then we get the ship, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, there we go. Oh. Now I know what's happening.
But as they were approaching Galus, and Claire says, we're close, I can hear the humming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted so desperately for Jamie to say, I hear it too.
I know.
I just want him to hear the freaking hums so bad so he can go back with her. Yeah. And so far, it's not happening. So maybe third time will be the charm. I don't know.
I want them to go into the future, too.
If it's something where it has to be something pulling you, then maybe eventually he will hear it. Because at the same time, when she went through the stones that one the first time, you know, it was to save herself, and he had stuff to do there. But if he has nothing to do here, like, he never went back to the stones after she went through that first time. Who's to say that when she went through that first time that maybe he couldn't have gone, you know, after a few years when he was a little bit more settled?
I mean, we did talk about last week about how he, you know, in the season one, the seeing of him outside of, I mean, you assume it's him, which
the ghost,
apparently we'll find out in the last book what that was all about.
So we won't be here, you guys, when that happens, but follow us on Twitter and we'll talk about it in about 7 years. No, I get it. It just kind of sucks. But, oh, also, I wanted to say a quick note before we move on. I realize some people are frustrated that we don't read the books on the show. We don't read the books because we don't want to be spoiled, because we enjoy the show, and, and we're here to talk about the show. Eventually, I think all of us will get to reading the books. It's also a very long, long running book series.
We're very behind.
I'm about 20 years behind. So, we appreciate all the comments about it, and we love hearing, you know, the differences, but at the same time, we don't want to spoil it for people who just watch a show like we do, because this is focused on the show and what happens in the show. If you have any interest in, maybe they might do an Outlander series on Book Circle Online, where they do go and they talk about books. But unfortunately, I don't think we're ever going to, at least not this panel, going to catch up in time to read the books as we're reading, or read the books as we're watching the show. Just because our focus is to be able to do predictions and enjoy the show as it is without any influence from the books. So I apologize, but that's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
Okay, so back. So we get into the cave, and Hercules is there. Poor Hercules. Oh, man. He could just walk away at that point. Like, what's she gonna do? What's she gonna do to you? She's jumping into the future, my friend. But
he probably doesn't realize that, though.
Yeah. But she's got the picture that she's burned for some reason. She's,
yeah,
like,
I was
circled,
like, what was
it.
That?
Yeah. And so we get.
Like, she was trying to make sure she's channeling to go to the right.
Yeah.
The right.
She, like, cut it down so it was, like, just bring it.
She's okay. Just her, to focus on her to get to that point, and when she's this age and not jump back to before she's born or anything like that.
So
that's how I took it.
But yeah, so we have that moment where we kind of get to see like the future fulfilled. How did you guys feel about that in terms of seeing Claire do the blow that creates the skull that they find in the future?
I mean, we've been talking about it all season, that we knew it was connected somehow to, you know, the cave and just the way Claire handled it, being like, okay, whose head is that? Mm-hmm. Who was it? And, you know, someone tried to cut her head off.
Yeah.
And you're just thinking, no, no way that could have been Claire who did that.
Right?
And then, voila, it's Claire.
And it's so funny, too, because she looks so different in the future, well, in the 60s, versus how she looks in the past, like, you know, in this time period. So, I don't know, like, it was interesting seeing that scene all over again where she's looking at the bones and just how different and more serious she looks.
Yeah.
And then we cut back, and it's like, oh, no, she's happier now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I liked that connection that they made, how she realized, like, she was having that, like, flashback of, you know, what had happened. And that wasn't something that I was expecting. Like we said, that she was going to be the one that was going to behead Galus or try to behead Galus. But did you guys catch, I don't know how you felt about it, but that moment where she's, like, drawn into the humming?
Yeah.
Did anyone have, like, a Lord of the Rings moment? Like, I was like, oh, it's, like, the Lord of the Rings. Like, the ring, like, you can't, like, oh, he's, like, you know, wants to go in so bad. But, yeah. I like that scene.
No, I thought that was really cool that, because we've never seen that in terms of with Cracknadun with her, of like being drawn to it, but you could tell she really, and I was like, oh man, is something happening to Bri? Is there a reason why she's like feeling like she needs to go back? But yeah, I was so shocked that the blow came from Claire and that it was strong enough for them to assume in the future that somebody was trying to cut her head off. That means that's like straight up like mama strength right there.
Yes, that is mom strength.
Like, it was a machete. Yes, machetes are terrifying. But at the same time,
to the, like, force needed to
break the neck
and like get the head off, do a full beheading is so astronomical that the pure strength and energy it takes, and you know that even Claire's face was all mom, just you shall not she's protecting her daughter at any cost. And part of me was confused it for a second because I thought that she had maybe missed and pushed her into the portal.
Yeah.
And then I saw her on the ground. I was like, oh no, that's going to leave a scar.
I thought they were both going to fall into the portal together.
Me too.
I was like, oh no.
I thought Claire was going to go. Like, I did not think that Claire was going to stay. I thought that was it. I thought someone was going in that portal.
I thought Jamie was going. That's what I thought was going to happen. But
yeah, what will happen if you go, especially because that's a water portal, it's not like you have to touch a rock. What would have happened if would he just like
swim
like
that?
It would
nothing.
He's like, the pool. Everyone else is like,
that would have been hilarious. That's like fan fiction that we can write.
And then when she was, you know, back to when she was like drawn into the humming, when he reaches out and touches her hand and she pops out of it, I got a tingle in my spine of, wow, that is the power that these two have. Connection that they have, that just a simple hand touch
and she's okay.
I want love like Jamie, where are you? Come through the portal, Jamie.
Come to me Jamie.
We have a couple of really interesting comments.
Cool.
So Heidi Sassanach asked the question, I still don't understand why the Dr. Abernathy was so fascinated with the skull. And someone answered, Mary Brown says, because they determined the skull was 200 years old but the bones were healthy, like a modern woman's bones. That's why they were studying them.
There we go.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That makes sense. Because I had the same question.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So, we get back on the boat.
And we're with 23 minutes left.
Yes.
Right.
Headed back to Scotland.
Just like, what's going to happen?
What?
A 15-minute sex scene.
It was a 15-minute sex scene. And it was sweet.
It was nice.
It was honestly the sweetest sex scene that I've ever seen.
It was a very sensual moment.
Yeah, and it was really funny.
There wasn't a lot of actual sex. It was like the build-up, and I was nervous and like sweating. And oh my gosh, this is like the most. Yes, Jamie.
Yeah, and we get bearded Jamie, hopefully. Season 4, bearded Jamie. But not crazy beard, like sexy beard.
Sexy beard.
Yeah.
Sexy beard.
It was really sweet because you can tell that they just have history, because he's like talking about like all her little squeaks and noises and everything. She's like, I don't do that. He's like, yeah, you do.
And I was like, yeah, you do. I've heard it.
We've all heard.
Heard you, Claire.
How you get down, Claire. And so we had that really sweet moment. What? Okay.
Heidi Sassanach, boom chicka wow wow.
And so it was a really sweet moment. And usually when they do that kind of stuff, you know that things aren't going to go well in like the next 5 minutes. And sure enough, they get some really bad waters, a.k.a. The Perfect Storm. I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember that movie. slash book.
Don't watch it.
Don't watch it.
It's depressing.
It's really sad. But... they end up in the storm, and I was like, oh, yeah, there was no, like, weather monitoring back then. Like, you can't just be like, you know what?
Check that app.
There's a hurricane on the way, guys. Let's just sit it out a few days.
A couple episodes ago, John Gray said that the reason why Willie didn't come was they were waiting to come when the weather wasn't as, like, temperamental and less,
see,
you know,
John Gray
easier
knows
to travel.
Yeah.
So they should have been listening to John Gray. Got the kid back. Yeah. What's the rush to get back home?
Exactly.
And also, when they landed, though, the colonist, I forget his name, he actually, well, when they got to Georgia, he even said, yeah, we don't usually have crazy weather like this time of year. So there's that, and, it's not like hurricane season, the way that he's making the sound.
But they were in a hurricane, because when they do that pan out after they've become shipwrecked, you see that, like, oh, yeah, they're actually in the eye of the storm, which is, like, cute, but, you know, they'd
terrifying.
Be dead, you guys. Like, So this is the moment when Claire gets up there, and she's like, I'm the surgeon. I have to help. I was like, no, Claire, no, you don't.
No.
Not right now. Like,
no,
you don't,
I know.
How are you going to surgeon right now? Let them come down.
Yeah, what are you going to do right now?
Yeah.
Stay down there.
That's what I was wondering.
I couldn't believe it. And so she goes up, and of course, and then, you know, he sends everyone down, and the last two up there, and a big wave, and they look at each other, and then she's gone.
It was so dramatic.
She's gone.
They're, like, staring at each other.
Yeah.
Big wave. And
they didn't really get to stare. She, like, looks over at him. He looks over at him. As he's about to look at her, she's gone. And so she's floating in the water, and she's dead, as she narrates. And... I see a little figure coming towards her. And that's that moment when I went, this is a romance novel.
Yeah. Like how?
Yeah. Because she would be dead or he would be dead.
Yeah.
He would not be able to find her.
No.
In the middle of the ocean like that.
Yeah.
And the darkness of the sea.
Yeah.
And then.
It was a very bright ocean.
It was very bright.
It was clear. Yes. So that's how I knew we were still in the Caribbean.
It was calm all of a sudden. Like, there were no sharks just swimming through being like, yum, food or nothing like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how sharks work, you guys. Maybe they wouldn't be there, but...
Sharknado is not happening.
But, yeah, I was like, this is so far from realistic.
Yeah.
That it kind of pulls me out for a bit, but I'm also just here for Claire and Jamie, so I don't really care that much.
Same.
But, yeah.
Because I know that there's 18 more books, so she's not dead.
She's not dead. He's so not dead.
I know that she's surviving this no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, that's my impression. I feel like we all felt the same way. Is that correct?
Yeah. And that kiss. I was like, what is he doing?
Okay,
it wasn't a kiss, though.
He was blowing air into her lungs. Yeah. Because they did it in Hook, the movie, when Robin Williams first gets back, he's down in the water and the mermaids come up and they keep blowing air into his mouth.
And they do it in Waterworld.
Yeah.
But that only works if you have gills. Okay? The mermaids could do it because they were gilled. They're fish
people.
Yeah,
he was also underwater for a long time, so I'm not sure how much air he would
theoretically had for
her.
We learned that you can only go without oxygen earlier in the season for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So he would have, and that's a big ocean. That was a long swim, okay? But
yeah, and just being tied down.
He has to cut the
That also only works if they are awake to breathe back in. So he's like blowing, he's like basically just losing all his air. It was frustrating, but nonetheless, I digress. They made it. She survived.
Then he just sits there letting her hang him. Are you gonna try and get more air into her lungs now that she's above water?
Yeah.
No? Like, we didn't CPR? Teach you this? You haven't been watching her over the last like 10 years and you guys have... You never picked up on any tricks here?
Yeah.
And then she passes out. All right, no, he passes out, and they end up on land. Very convenient, again. Still right near, close enough to her to find her. Very convenient. Mm-hmm. She's alive. Mm-hmm. Wakes up, doesn't cough up water. I was like, well, maybe she coughs it up, and he wasn't there to see it.
That's probably what happened.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And so that's when we discover they've made it to America.
Yay, which is all I wanted. Yeah. All I wanted was for them to get to America where Murtaugh is still alive.
I know. Oh, my God. Murtaugh, where are you?
The return of Murtaugh. Yeah.
Yes.
But I also feel like when they go around to find the other people, that somebody's going to be dead.
Yeah.
So it's either Ian, it's either Fergus, or Fergus's lady, whose name I've forgotten at this moment.
Yeah.
We know which one of those three. I'm okay with it. Bye, Felicia.
You know, so yeah, I think it's safe to say we lost somebody in this round. But
there's no way that they didn't.
Yeah, someone's out.
I would hope they wouldn't break up Fergus and his lady that soon. What's her name? Someone help me.
Marisol?
No, good. Yeah.
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 I was like Leary's daughter, but
yeah.
That hoe's daughter. That's how I refer to her.
Yeah. Marcelly.
Marcelly. There we go.
I was close.
Sorry, guys. There was a lot to digest.
There was a lot going on, okay?
I forgot
okay?
one name.
I did my research this time.
Yeah. Forgot one name this episode. So that's a great way to kind of start it off, and we'll get to see them. I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, yay, America. But, oh, we got to deal with more slavery.
Seriously? Right? Yeah.
Right.
And then I loved how the family comes over and like, oh yeah, you're in the colony of Georgia, and Jamie and Claire are still just
embrace,
and it looked like they were about to get it on. I'm like, there is a child right there. Maybe you guys could look at the people and say, hey, you got any bread and water? I'm kind of hungry.
Yeah. I like how they weren't that concerned. Like these people, you just found these people on the beach.
Yeah, and then they just cruise and they're like, okay, see ya.
Okay, looks like they want to get it on the sand. I'm going to just continue my morning stroll.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Your people on the other side. Good luck.
4 miles that way.
4 miles that way.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So we have not gotten to the Revolutionary War yet, and they have just landed.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Oh, no more war. I'm so tired.
But Claire needs to be a doctor again.
Yes.
In battle.
And we need to find Murtaugh, so I don't even care what happens as long as Murtaugh comes back.
Yeah, I guess. We're just going to have a bunch of historical figures popping up and speaking in weird
Alexander Hamilton.
I like that.
That would be awesome.
That they didn't give the Americans an American accent.
No.
Thank you. Thank you, because the original Americans, the original colonizers, would not have American accents. Whenever I see some type of Mel Gibson BS patriot crap, and they have a standard American accent, or British, or like a weird, like hybrid modern British accent, I get really upset.
It would also depend where you live, too.
Exactly.
And it wasn't quite, like, there yet.
Yeah,
it
she was, had, like, a Scottish type accent, and he had some type of other weird accent. So I appreciated that. Thank you. Thank you. Need that.
Historical accuracy.
Is important.
Boom.
So I guess that wraps up this episode. Like, do you guys want to try out for season 4 predictions?
Oh, I thought you meant, do I want to try out for season 4?
And I know, yes, absolutely.
We're in America. I mean,
listen,
I have to play a slave, but I'll
do it.
That. Like, I'm free.
What you need? I'm here for you.
Sorry, I didn't mean the bird chicken mess.
I'll definitely be Claire's handmaiden. If you need somebody, I'm available. You can call my manager. It's ESI Network, and my agent is Aqua Talent. Give them a call, stars.
Yes.
I already worked for you before on Boss. Okay. So, let's just try.
Let's try and predict some stuff.
We're just feeling goofy. It's the last episode. Yeah. Let's try for predictions, season 4.
So, of course, Jamie and Brianna have to meet at some point.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do think that something with this whole prophecy of the 200-year-old baby... Mm-hmm. Still needs something sort of to happen with that.
Yeah.
So I do think we'll get Brianna back in season 4, but I think in the vein of Harry Potter, prophecies aren't always exactly what you think.
Exactly.
You kind of choose the person, and I think that Galus has chosen Brianna, but that's not necessarily the right 200-year-old baby.
No, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know something from reading ahead. Like, I haven't read the books, but I've read a summary, so I don't want to say that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No spoilers.
But I think something is definitely going to happen with them and the war. That's my prediction, just because I know it's, like, that general time period, and it would kind of be strange if it didn't happen and affect them. And I think that they're going to find a whole set of problems living in America right now.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. For so many reasons.
New scene for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want them to find Murtaugh. Everybody. That's what I've been saying since the very first episode of this season. That's all I really want.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're going to have, I'm sure, different struggles in their Jamie and Claire way, you know, that they always fall into. And I'm kind of excited to see the different, like, historical aspects that are coming, just with, like, building of the colonies, I guess, and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I just want Murtaugh. That's all I care about.
Yeah. I think they should just go straight to Canada. To be it's not there yet, but like, just
go there.
Keep going north.
America's crazy.
You know? Yeah, still is.
It hasn't changed. Just skip it. Just go. Yeah. Like, you know what? Claire already knows. Just go.
I'm also wondering where there's another of the rock formations. Like, is there going to be one in America as well? Yeah. And where? Like Vermont, New Hampshire.
Yeah. Hey. You know?
I don't know.
One of those colonies is going to have it. So, yeah, I think I'll be excited to see how they interact with everyone. Like, they're definitely going to have more people of color because it's America was crazy back then. It was crazy now. But so I'm excited to see them kind of introduce all these new characters. Yeah. What was that face?
I just figured it out where it is in America, guys.
Where?
Plymouth Rock is the portal. It's Plymouth Rock.
It probably will be Plymouth Rock.
It's Plymouth Rock. It's got to be.
So they will be going to Massachusetts.
Yes. Yeah,
that's where they're going to be. That makes sense. That actually makes sense. All right, guys. I think that wraps up this season of the Outlander Hour Show.
It's been so much fun, guys.
Yeah.
Let's do it again.
Yeah.
Come back next year. Same time. 2018. We'll be back. Hopefully, it'll be the same panel. If not, you guys, it's always been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure seeing you all, working with everyone. Where can everyone find everyone? Rachel.
So, I'm Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Rach Goodman or on Facebook at Rachel Ann Goodman. I also host the Young and the Restless AfterBuzz talk show. So, if anyone loves soaps, you can find me on Sundays at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Good job. I'm Tiana Hobson. You can find me at The Tiana Hobson. And I'm also on the Flash After Show here at AfterBuzz TV Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. or 10 p.m., I forget, and CW Weekly Thursdays at 8 p.m.
I'm Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at OMG. It's MLE.
And I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. I also do the Magicians after show coming back in January, the Black Mirror after show coming back in January. Oh, God. And I'll be here for the Doctor Who Christmas special on January 2nd, if you didn't already know. Yeah, I'm in, like, a lot of shows in January. I'm kind of upset about that. Anyways, but excited at the same time. It's been so wonderful this season, you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're not going to see you next week. But, hey, I still want you to stay sexy. All right. Have a good one.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.